Hey guys, how's it going? This is William, the Opinion Updike. Joined here as I am most days by my good buddy.
What's up guys? Honest Chuck Mockler.
Hey, so we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Wednesday, so that means our What Could Have Been or Parallel Universe. We're doing a big hypothetical on this one with a certain Michael Porter Jr. We've also got some talk about the new developments of the Jimmy Butler trade. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rockets and the bench. And then we're going to wrap up with some Clippers-specific talk, mostly the how it's going to work out with Toby and Gallo sharing the floor, and some notes on our rookies and stuff. So all that coming up right about now.
Yeah, so apparently the Heat are now just the number one destination for where Jimmy Butler's gonna go.
Yeah, he's telling his agent a lot of stuff, really all over the place.
I saw an interesting take that maybe Minnesota, it just leaked that he wanted to go to the Heat to try and get him out of the West.
Ah.
Which, I mean, with all the chaos that's happening in that organization, sure, I believe that.
Yeah. All the chaos in the Timberwolves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Of course.
I mean, we talked about this on the show. Haven't we already talked about this on the show before? I don't really see what the Heat can offer you.
I don't either, other than a bunch of money, and then you take a... And also, where do the Heat finish if they get Jimmy Butler?
I mean, it depends on what they're giving up. Even if they add Jimmy Butler to the current roster...
Sixth?
Yeah. Right?
Like, optimistically? And then they're going to get beat by whoever they play, because the top four is going to be some combination of Toronto, Philly, Boston and Indiana.
Like, and then you got the Bucks right up there. Yeah, I mean, like, the Bucks are pretty close.
All those teams could trounce Miami. Apparently Spoelstra really wants Butler,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, any player going to Spo, I guess I'm like, you know, he could probably turn him around.
Definitely. I just don't understand, though, like, given, I mean,
everything? Injury history?
I mean, just salary-wise, it's not that good of a match either.
They do have a great medical staff in Miami, so I think maybe injury-wise, for Jimmy Butler, this would be a really good place to go.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know. Who cares? If he goes to the Heat, who cares?
Like, I know this is the thing. I feel like we got sucked up in a lot of talks. More than anything, to me, it was just nice to be on the initial front line. We were on the real front list.
We were on the real one.
Not some coming up later front list of the Eastern Conference stuff. I don't even know about that.
We were number one. A fallout of this is because Jimmy Butler hasn't been at Wolves scrimmages, they've been running a two-point guard lineup with Teague and D. Rose.
I like it.
You like it. As a fan, do you think that would translate to winning basketball games?
Could be.
No way. I don't know what they're doing. Tibbs is like, every picture I've seen of Tibbs from media day, he's been like smiling, and I'm like, does Tibbs know what's happening around him? Like, does Tibbs have any idea that this is his last season in the NBA? Maybe last half season?
I think no matter what, this season was Tibbs coaching to keep this job. So I agree. I've talked about how the Jimmy Butler thing isn't great. Definitely not great. But I think either way,
it wasn't a make or break.
I don't think that that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I think, you know, they're going to not make the playoffs.
Yes, there's a lot of straws.
And I think that they were in danger of not making the playoffs with Jimmy Butler.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone always references, they were the third seed when he was healthy and stuff. It's like, wasn't that for like a month?
Yeah. So many teams were the third seed. There was a GIF somebody put out on Reddit that was great. That was like the, you know, one and two, which stayed the same.
Yeah.
And then the movement of three through
for
eight.
For sure.
And it, you know, like the way it cycles around, you can't lay back on those fake facts. You finished eight.
All right. Hopefully this is the last we have to talk about this. He'll just get traded. It might even happen today. Who knows? Western Conference news, which actually kind of affects the Clippers.
Yeah.
We're talking the, D'Antoni hinted that Melo was kind of asked about it, kind of down with being a sixth man.
Yeah, so a stark contrast to what previously known
AP,
about Melo.
They want me to come off the bench because I'm bad.
And, you know, I think that it makes sense. I think that it was, you know, I bet that this had to be a sobering season for Carmelo as a player.
You would hope.
You know, when you're somebody like of his ilk, I don't know how you ever think that you're not the greatest. I don't even know if I want you on the court if you're thinking you're not the greatest. I mean, Carmelo's job and, like, you know, in New York and
shoot.
Previously ended,
yeah, score.
Take every shot.
Yeah.
Take every shot for us.
For sure.
So there's definitely a change to that. He was playing out of position, you know, which I think has got to, it's not for every player, you know, like not everybody definitely. Is like a positionless kind of guy.
For sure. Especially when you've been coached in that old era.
Yeah.
Of like, this is your position. You're never playing anything else.
And I think that, the reunitation with D'Antoni is going to be good. I know there was friction there in New York, obviously, but
it's so hard to coach in New York too. That would suck with that media.
Very hard to coach. I mean, the whole relationship started off on a bad foot because, you know, D'Antoni wasn't advocating for that trade ever.
Yeah.
So that's going to put a bad taste in both the coach and the player's mouth.
Definitely.
And, you know, yeah, he's older now. He's wiser. D'Antoni has proved himself to be an incredible coach that I think yeah. that you're willing to listen to.
For
certainly
sure.
more than a Billy Donovan, no disrespect.
I was going to say, do you think he's more willing now? Because to me, it seems like he believes in the Rockets a little more than the Thunder. And so he's more willing to take that back seat.
100%.
Like, he's more willing to be 100%. Like, you also, know what? I believe in the guys around me. We can cover this.
Also, I mean, I know that he got bashed all last season, which, you know, tell me who was better, really, at like the three guard on the Thunder. Like, no one is like... so much better.
He didn't take anyone's spot necessarily.
So I guess I could see maybe just from a from like a chemistry standpoint, maybe he should have come off of us. I don't know. I just don't really see it. It's not like the Thunder is such a wildly deep team that for he sure. needed to.
Yeah,
come
Roberson
off the
is
bench.
Their pivot piece for a championship.
Apparently. Like, yeah,
yeah. So now we look at the Rockets' second unit. Rockets, we're going to assume finish one or two in the West.
Oh yeah, and another interesting note on that. So. Eric Gordon is going to be taking the
starter.
Is going to be taking the starting position at the three, which is out of position for him.
He'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
So the Rockets' second unit is going to be Brandon Knight, Gerald Green, Melo, Ennis, and Nene.
Yes. So
that seems good. I mean, that's a pretty good bench.
I'm mixed on it. I think that Brandon Knight, if he stays healthy, great.
Gerald Green, best braids in the game.
Best braids in the game. Best 9.5 finger player in the game, I believe.
Yeah. And worst, I think, because I don't think there's any other one.
And Carmelo Anthony, like, that's solid scoring. Defensively.
Nene's. That is how old is Nene right now?
Nene is.
47.
Yes.
57, I think, actually.
When did basketball start?
yeah, defensively, that's not the most.
Ennis, so like the idea is that Ennis is going to cover up for some of Carmelo's deficiencies in the front court there, and then hopefully Nene. I mean, I like Nene. Like, I like his style.
Yeah, I do too.
But it doesn't grab like a whole lot of boards. Doesn't really score a lot.
Isn't the most athletic guy age-wise now.
Yeah, it's kind of slower. So
yeah, this is a slow ball lineup.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel really mixed about it because I think that the offensive upside is there.
The offense, like, if they, yeah.
If it clicks and everyone stays healthy, I mean, it's good. And then also, I mean, it just gives you a lot more options. Like, we might not see this, like, this particular five-man unit get
a ton.
Get, say, minutes. 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're subbing out little pieces in here, you know, here and there.
I mean, CP3 out there with everyone else on this lineup is great.
Yeah, totally.
Hopefully they give him some rest this year. But yeah, they really did a good job. I mean, the beginning of the offseason, we were really down on their bench, but they've done a pretty dang good job at kind of filling it out.
Yeah, I guess the biggest question marks for me are still... at the forward position in both lineups, really. I mean, we know what Eric Gordon can do. That's great. You know, he's a solid player. I don't know if I would say exceptional.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe not exceptional. No, I'd agree with that.
I mean,
he's good.
He's a solid dude.
Yeah,
he's a guy like I'd be happy to have on my team, but he's not like he's never gonna be the one.
He's
or
a starter,
the two.
Though.
He's never your number one or number two option on a good team.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of, they're in that perfect situation though, because they got CP3 and
exactly. He doesn't have to be, so that's like part of what makes him great. So I think playing out of position, that could kind of work. You know, Marquese Chris, for me, has been a little disappointing. I think there's a chance to turn it around. He did see a big cut in his minutes last year, so naturally production fell. But it, you know, I guess if there's like, according to ESPN, he's like in the starting lineup for the power forward position, which
I guess
I don't know if he's like a start, like on a champ, on a championship or a contending team. I do not know if he's your starting power forward.
D'Antoni's going to have to come up with some interesting rotations, which I have faith that he will probably figure it out.
Absolutely. I do think that that is one upside, is that like while it's like a sum of its parts situation.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and two of those parts are like top five NBA players, so that helps.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so that was some Western Conference talk. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a little bit of Arrow Universe, what could have been. But first, well, I got a question for you.
What's that?
Have you ever been to a live event or thought about attending a live event?
I've always wanted to. How would I even go?
So the thing with live events is you need tickets.
I know, but where do you get them?
I'll tell you where you get tickets. Vivid Seats! Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code Locked On, all capital letters, of course, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. That's your whole dang family.
Wow.
That's pretty cheap. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter promo code Locked On to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee, and you know they're real. Check it out. Go to a live event.
I can't wait.
Okay, so what could have been? This is kind of a short one today. Pretty recent info, though. What would happen if we took Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah, so do we want to talk upside or downside first?
I think it's all downside. So let's go down.
We're not even giving a possibility.
No, I'm not.
All right.
I think we don't take Jerome if we draft Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. I think he would have been such a big risk, Michael Porter, that they would have been like, maybe the fan base will just burn the Staples Center down if we take Michael Porter and someone they've never heard of.
Well, should we give a touch of background?
Yeah, let's give a little bit. So Michael Porter Jr. has a terrible back. He played
previously, was like coming out of high school,
number one recruit, went to Missouri.
Yeah.
He was going to go to UW and then they fired their coach, went to Missouri, I think. Pretty much a lock for maybe the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Got hurt minutes into his Missouri debut.
Did he even make the debut?
He might not have made it. Anyway, has had two back surgeries.
Yeah, one of which is the same one that Steve Kerr and Tiger Woods have had.
Recently, so just think about that. A lot of people kind of thought we were looking at him in that range because we had two first-round picks and it was a lower area.
And draft boards were all over the place.
100%. No one really knew where he was going to go.
Porter fell super far in some.
And then he came back towards the end.
Yeah, and like in the final week, he was kind of moving up. A lot of people were really stricken by the upside. You know, this is an anti-ceiling podcast.
We hate it.
And, you know, a lot of people thought that he was going to be like a versatile scorer and a starter.
Which he might be.
And I was never a fan. I was never on the Porter hype train. Before the second back surgery and when he did end up getting his Mizzou debut.
I was also worried that this is a mark of a good owner. Back to Ballmer. He commented he had seen a lot of Michael Porter because he played at Nathaniel Hale in Seattle. Shout out to the 206. And Ballmer had only really seen him play a ton and really liked him and I think maybe wanted us to take him.
And I think, yeah, that was another indication
thing, guys. So we didn't take him, thankfully. But what if we did?
What if we did?
Do you think, I think we don't take Jerome if we were going to take Michael Porter. I think we don't do that. I think we maybe still do Shea and then Michael Porter. Or Michael Porter than Shea, interchangeable, I guess. Well, maybe Michael Porter second because you have to pay him less. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're in any position where people are excited about us. I think people would see it as a classic Clippers move.
Okay, so that's what I want to say. That's what it feels like to me.
It would have been a classic Clippers move, and I don't think the optimism for the season would be anywhere near where it is. I wouldn't think we would be a 7 seed. I wouldn't think we would win 37 games if we had Michael Porter Jr.
I mean, it's just doubtful that he would play.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just another one of those things where he still had so much work to do. He has a bad handle.
Yeah.
In the NBA. It would have been that not taking him was, I feel like, looking back at it, such a big jump from into the new Clippers.
From what you would think that we would do.
Yeah, for sure.
The only way I see Michael Porter Jr. being some sort of asset is if you're able to draft him I wouldn't even want to give up either one of the draft picks that we took, but let's say you take him at 13, you're able to get like some good workouts or something out of him, and then maybe before he's ever played a game,
true ship him off.
You're able to trade him for something.
That'd be huge.
Whether it be, you know, a first rounder or whatever.
Which Jerry West might have been able to pull off too.
Yeah, so I could kind of see something like that coming into play.
I like that. Kind of diabolical on your part.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you'd be like an evil GM.
I mean, once someone has been drafted, the value of that pick already goes down. Because, like, the idea or
it's like the new car thing.
Yeah, the idea or the allure of the number of what that pick could be is already more interesting than even a face that you've assigned to it. Mm-hmm. And then once that face has played in the NBA, like, barring some sort of exceptional performance, probably even lower because you realize how long someone has to go.
Good point.
So I could see that as a way of maximizing value from a trade if we had picked up Porter Jr. and maybe shipped him to some, like maybe shopped him around to some teams that were really interested and had something to offer us or were willing to take on some salary.
Do you think we keep Bridges, who we originally drafted and then traded for Shea?
No. Hmm. If I'm running the front office, no. Shea was my guy the whole time.
Yeah.
I really wanted Shea. I was interested.
And then the Clippers front office apparently did too.
Yeah, I was interested in a point guard and a small forward. That would have been like my dream draft. And it would have been one of the Bridges, either Mikhail or Miles, and Shea. Yeah. That was what I wanted going into the draft. And I was pleasantly surprised.
You were pretty close.
two guards. Which, you know, we don't even know what Jerome is going to be yet, but just from his rookie class and like the way that he conducts himself, I just feel like he's a little bit surer of a bet than Michael Porter Jr., even though, you know, like injuries aside. And if Michael Porter Jr. does ever end up panning out, you know, maybe he could be what, Blake Griffin?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm saying sure. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, like, what's the absolute highest he could be?
I think Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Probably. With more injuries already?
Yeah. Well, already coming in with more mileage on there.
And he got drafted into a perfect situation in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need him. I mean, they want him to be great, but they don't need him to come in and contribute right away.
Yeah.
I'm happy we didn't take him. My friend Pat thinks it's stupid we didn't take them, but he's an idiot, so that's fine.
Yeah. A lot of people were upset.
A lot of people were upset, but I think they're going to be pretty psyched when we clinch that 7 seed and Michael Porter Jr. gets his, I don't know, 5th back surgery by the time the season is over.
Yeah. Every time I think about Michael Porter Jr., I just think about that scorpion fatality where he pulls the spine out.
That's so funny.
Out of an opponent.
All right. So that was what could have been. We're going to talk about a couple scrimmage notes from the first and second day of team scrimmages. Guys, but first, it's been a pretty slow offseason up until the last couple weeks, I would say. But Locked On NBA never went away. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast.
Every day.
So if for some reason you're not a huge Clippers fan, you know, we all have our faults. You can get your news constantly. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long for daily 30 minutes on everything going on across the entire NBA. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your dang smart speaker to play that dang Locked On NBA podcast.
Do you have to say dang?
Yes. So the first 2 days of practice are in the books. Well, second day might be happening right now. The biggest development, Shea is going to be wearing Kobe's all year.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of cool, I guess. The new Kobe's, I'm not a favorite of them. So if they're old player models, like player edition colorways, I'm into it.
Yeah, so prior to this, I was looking at a bunch of Kobe's, and all the Nike releases, because he switched to Nike famously in 2003, I believe, I think they've all been pretty solid.
They're great. I did think it was funny when immediately after he had a horrific Achilles injury, he was like, low tops, baby.
Except for the 9. The 9 has like the crazy high.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah.
So that, I mean, that's not really the biggest news. I actually do think the biggest news was the Gallinari stuff.
Yeah.
So him and Tobias Harris, he clarified with Jovan Buha. I'm sorry if I mispronounced you, Jovan. You're a fantastic reporter. Gallinari clarified that when he plays with Tobias, he will always play up a position. So with the starters, he's the 4 and Tobias is the 3. What are your thoughts on that? I guess I like it. They're kind of the same size. Galileo's only an inch taller.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm wary, so...
I guess in my head, it's always worked the other way around.
I just think because Tobias is more athletic that you would want him on more athletic people.
Yeah.
So this kind of goes into Doc said for maybe a closing out lineup, it would be P-Bev, Lou, Avery Bradley, Tobias, and then Gallo, with Gallo at the five, with Luke inserted every now and then. At the five, I'm assuming. People on Twitter, not excited about Gallo at the five. I saw a good insight about Gallo at the five kind of worries me because fives are a lot more athletic than they used to be. And mm-hmm. they're going to bang around on you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to bang around on a guy who's for sure injury prone.
Yeah.
So it seems like I kind of hope that's maybe a sparingly used lineup, or at least maybe Luke and Bamute moves more and Gallo's maybe inserted every now and then. Because I don't – can you picture Gallo guarding Karl-Anthony Towns in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game?
Karl-Anthony Towns, yeah, because he doesn't have like the most elite – post game, in my opinion.
All right. I don't think Gallo could stop him at all. All right. So let's say LeBron's playing at the five, which might happen.
Yeah.
Or Ingram's at the five. I don't think Gallo's stopping either guys. Maybe Ingram because he's so skinny. But I'm just worried about that banging around.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't really know how that's going to pan out.
I was trying to picture it in my head, and I'm like, I mean, Doc knows what's up, but that does – it's a kind of a bold lineup to be the closing out lineup.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty big swing from what we're maybe used to.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't see why you wouldn't maybe put Trez at the five.
Yeah.
Right?
Why not have Trez close?
He has unlimited energy.
Yeah.
That dude is the perfect end-of-game closer.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be remain to be seen, but I do...
I mean, I'm excited to see it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it, too.
I just think...
Skeptical excitement would be my... I would say is my mood.
Totally. Thinking about those matchups...
It kind of makes my head hurt. Everything up until the five is fine, but then the five kind of makes my head hurt.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's their count? Jokic? Gallo on Jokic in the last 2 minutes of the 50?
I mean, that'd be fun.
For Jokic, it'd be a lot of fun. Well, we wouldn't maybe get to see that on opening night. That it just seems like there's going to be some interesting lineups this year. From Robert Flom, from what he's seen, Shea's been getting a run on mostly second unit lineups.
That makes sense.
Which is great. I think it's going to be Milos versus Shea for that number two spot.
Yeah.
I think Shea's going to hopefully blow him out of the water.
Maybe
not hopefully, but I think it should happen. I hope it does.
I don't know. Yeah, as I've said, if he's playing less than like 12 or 15 minutes per game, it's the entire season is a failure.
Especially if we start terribly when it's like, just let him play.
Yeah.
Doc had some good quotes. Every single guy at this camp should be on an NBA team.
Well, that's
good to hear. I'm glad. How would you... it'd be so terrible if he was like, you know... Everyone here, except a couple of guys, should be on an NBA.
80% of these guys could be in the NBA.
Could be in the NBA. We still have to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
Ty's probably gone. No, Ty's not gone. Wes is probably gone.
Yeah?
I feel like he hasn't even been in pictures from training camp. He has. I'm just saying that. But we got to get something. So, two people have to go. I just hope it gets done soon. You know? I want to know what our full 15 is going to be.
Yeah. When is the last day to announce the roster?
Unsure. I am unsure of that.
Is it after Hawaii?
It might be. I mean, their first preseason game is Sunday. Like, so maybe we'll play all 17? Like, I'm not sure. We still got to get rid of two.
I'd like to know what the energy is like for the 17 people in there. You know what I mean?
Dude, I bet those last four. I mean, I imagine, I've seen some footage of some scrimmages. I mean, it seems like they're going really hard, and I bet those last three guys, you know, I bet like Jawan and Wes are just, you would hope, are just going out of their minds right now with hustle.
Yeah.
From what Doc has been saying, it seems like energy's pretty high. They're really putting a focus on defense, so if you're one of those last guys on the team and you're not bringing it on defense, I bet you're done.
Yeah.
Just from, I mean, it feels like they probably don't care what you've done, but if you're not showing it right now when they're overbooked by two, like... You're done if you're not showing defensive hustle.
Yeah.
Because the team is really shaping up to be a defensive identity, which is awesome. But, like, yeah, we just, and a lot of the time with defense, I feel like you, you know, your kind of last resort is just bodies, just a war of attrition.
Yeah.
Of just like, we got to wear you down. We need someone in here who can stop. So whoever's going to have the worst defense in the camp is not going to be on the team.
That's a good, I mean,
is my,
yeah, that's a good insight.
Thoughts. I hope Shea wears some cool Kobe's this year. Do you have anything else you'd like to add? You're gone for a couple weeks. Do you have anything you'd like to say to the fans?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be in Europe for a while. I'm going to try to call in. We haven't really quite worked it out or practiced or planned anything. But don't you worry. That content's still going to be coming out thrice weekly.
Maybe even five times.
Maybe Charles will do five a week
without Will dragging me down. If you see any Clippers fans overseas, you have to take a picture and post on Twitter.
Definitely.
That has to happen.
And then, as soon as I get back, we're going to be
right
hitting the ground
hard.
Yeah. Right into the season. I think my second day back is opening day.
G-dang right. We'll be at that game.
We'll be there.
Section 206. Come get at us.
Yeah. And then we will be coming at you five times a week.
We are so excited, guys. Everyone's excited for the season.
It's about freaking time.
I'm great. You're great. We're all great. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Bye, guys.